Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
It's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. I'm coming to you live from deep inside your gut. And I had this guest on once, and she was a therapist. And she said, when children say they have a tummy ache, that oftentimes it's not really that their stomach hurts, but that they're emotionally in distress, but that we biologically kind of carry our emotional upset in our stomachs, in our guts. And that rings true to me because I know when I'm anxious and nervous, I definitely get, like, if I had to pinpoint where I feel it the most, I would say my stomach and my intestines and my chest. I think that's what I would say. And I'm just thinking about this because I feel it a lot lately. You know, I get this anxious feeling, and if it's something to do with, like, if I'm going to be on a show or I have to memorize words or perform in some way, then it seems more in my gut, like lower. But if it's anxiousness because of, like, I don't know, current events, like, did you guys hear that this nurse whistleblower came forward on Project Veritas and basically filmed all these doctors talking about what BS the vaccine is and how it's actually causing myocarditis in people and stuff? Anyway, if you haven't seen that Project Veritas video, you really should. It's really good, and I think it's a good thing that this stuff is coming to light. But I get so anxious when I hear these things because I'm like, somebody has to do something about this, you know? And then another thing that I read today, the NEJM.org is a science publication, and they published a correction. They now admit that there is no evidence that vaccines are safe for pregnant women. And this is also something you can look up. And I read that and I thought, gosh, this is not getting enough coverage. Like, people need to know that this is happening so they cannot get vaccinated, you know, if they're pregnant and, frankly, ever. And then more stuff that gives me anxiousness in my chest is the CDC admits over 150,000 deaths from the jab. This is on downloads.regulations.gov. And that they also admit that underreporting on the vaccine adverse events reporting site is less than, like, between 1 and 9% or something of adverse events get reported there. I'm sure you guys read this. You know, the Emmys, they had the Emmys in... Here it is. Okay, this is TMZ. The health department tells TMZ, yes, the current mandate in Los Angeles requires everyone to wear a mask indoors, whether vaccinated or unvaccinated. But it also says exceptions may be made for film, TV, and music productions. The county says the Emmy Awards qualify as a TV production, and all the people appearing on the show are considered performers, so masks were not a must for attendees. Guys, that's real. I didn't make that up. I mean, can we pretend that all of this nation's children that are in school, can we pretend that they're performers and they're just attending a show and that way they don't have to wear masks? Can we do that? Can we make the same exceptions for this nation's children and not just a bunch of actors and people who support that industry? Is that possible? Can I put a suggestion in the suggestion box, please? Anyway, so what can be done about this anxiety in our chests, in our guts? I think a few things, you know, you can not listen to me because I keep talking about it. You can turn off my Instagram. No, I'm telling the truth, though. You can turn off the media, you can turn off the news, you can limit your social media exposure. And then we can do breath work and prayer and play with our kids and, you know, do things with our loved ones and get some nature in. And I've been using my Calm Cream. I developed this product called Calm Cream, and it's one of the new Ona's products. And it's CBD from hemp plus progesterone, 3% progesterone. And it's awesome. It's awesome, especially because it's towards the end of the day when I start to feel like, I don't know, my brain can't wind down. And then I get a little more anxious and I lay in bed and my head starts spinning. So now I just take a little squirt of the Calm Cream and I put it on my temples and behind my earlobes. And then I take a little melatonin sometimes, and just that really helps. That brings down my cortisol, which is keeping me in that fight or flight space. It down regulates my cortisol and up regulates my ability to absorb progesterone and then use that progesterone, which is anti-inflammatory and calming. And anyway, that's one of the things I've been doing. So you can check Ona's out, that new product I developed, in the show notes. Just click on Ona's. And don't forget, oh gosh, don't forget that ButcherBox is still doing that grass-fed and finished ground beef free for life. It's 2 pounds of ground beef in every single order that you get for the lifetime of your membership. And we've been ordering from them for several years, and it's been amazing. It really reduces the overall cost of the box of ButcherBox altogether. It makes it a lot more affordable, because they also do like a bacon for life, and they do like chicken wings for life, and it's all really, really, really high quality food. It's the best quality food. It's completely worth it to budget it into your family budget for food. Trust me, in the long run, you'll save so much money by not DoorDashing or eating out or making, you know, food that you shouldn't be eating. It's just exceptional. So again, go into the show notes and click on the ButcherBox sign up, or check out any of the other links that I have in there. So I'm excited about this guest. We've had him on before. This is Michael Matucci. He's wonderful. I really, really love this person very much. And he has a book coming out maybe this year, he's hoping. And he's going to tell us all about it. But he is here to talk about death or life that our words bring. Enjoy. So the last time that we spoke here in the podcast, you were doing some pretty profound and challenging and beautiful work, and with the sex trafficking world and those victims. Where are you at now with that?
I have moved. The project has grown in scope as I have brought on and then separated from certain partners, which I thought were the right ones, the ones that I thought that, you know, at least from my docuseries, that were supposed to be, oh, this is the perfect one that was going to help me move ahead in Hollywood. And these are this one's even better because they're doing it, but they're stepping away and they're stepping into, you know, a different way of doing it. And I recognized that process that, and the ups and downs that it's brought, that, okay, I think this is bigger than a typical series. And so I got into my patience and also got into the scope of things. And I'm now looking at really a project that is going to assist the national movement to illuminate sex trafficking and empower those people who are doing something about it and empower the public to be able to participate. So I have a combination series featuring the heroines that escaped sex trafficking and are now in the front lines of the movement.
Wow.
Doing the work, helping, assisting, recovering, nurturing, nourishing, educating. And then I'm tying it to a tech portal, which I'm having built, an online empowerment hub where the people who watch the series or eventual partnership, artistic explorations, books, videos, then can go and find out a place close to them where they can contribute, they can donate, they can book speakers or get help themselves. So it's going to bring together the people who are looking to participate or get informed with opportunities to do so. And on the other end, I'm also going to have feature the nonprofits that are survivor-led, trauma-informed, the ones that are doing a lot of impact. Because there's a lot of ones in the movement that are in it for other than really stellar reasons, mm-hmm. Or have lost their way. So I'm going to highlight the ones that are really for our kids, for our young people, and doing impact-focused and proven work so that they can be raised, empowered, and uplifted a lot. And so put it really like a big hub and to connect all these spokes, which are all across the country and beyond. And so it's more of a project that's going to assist the movement, mm-hmm. assist those who are doing the work. I spent a few months on Clubhouse, that live audio app, hosting chats with a lot of my survivor and law enforcement and operator friends, and people who are in education and in the birth space and doulas, and really it was called the Guardians, and we were focused on what we can really do to protect and uplift and truly empower and educate our children. I took a little pause from that to really get down and finish my book, which is another piece of the final piece of the overall panorama, which is a book that I'm writing on belief and why people do or don't believe the really outrageous things that are happening around them.
Yes.
So that could deal with any of the things that we're seeing in the world. At the same time, the story is, the backbone of the book is the story of my friend who survived over 2 decades of sex trafficking, ritual abuse, torture, and experimentation. And that's just, her story is as outrageously different than anything else most likely people have heard. So my invitation is to walk with me on this journey and understanding how the beliefs in the body actually work, what impedes our ability to truly see what's happening in our lives, in the world around us, and to be able to identify that so that we can each individually step into a greater level of awareness, a greater level of openness, and push aside the things or transmute the things that block our vision, block our intuition, block our ability to believe and see, so we can stand forward for whatever issue or topic is most important to us. Mm. So, yeah, I'm really working on the book this morning, and it's going to be great.
What's your projected release date, or?
I'd like to do it this year. That's the plan. Okay. I was a little more bold before, and now I'm like, okay. As I wrote the first version, very journalistically with pen and paper, and then I got back and I recognized that when I started it to rewrite it, I was in a way different place than I was. Mm-hmm. So I just finished rewriting the second chapter, but now I have the structure and the pieces, and so this is my first endeavor of this length, so I'm being discerning. Okay. I'm not doing any estimations, I choose for it to be as powerful as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a guided work. I feel it's a divine and guided work, so I'll roughly say this year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll say a prayer for you that mm-hmm. really comes to fruition, because I think people really need that. It's ironic that you would be talking about this today, because I was on Twitter this morning and saw one little simple tweet that said, why do you think people aren't connecting? Perfectly rational people with decent IQs are not connecting the dots. And I just replied, mass psychosis, because I saw this incredible video that you might have seen going around, this viral video that's like, 10 minutes long, I think. Incredible, almost a little bit, very creepy, just in regards to how mass psychosis has taken place throughout history, where, people begin to believe things together, like in a little cohesive group where the population grows of these people thinking the same things and believing in these certain lies and stuff, kind of the very things that they are accusing conspiracy theorist of, but actually the reality is that it's this other mass population that's in this mass psychosis. And it's so fascinating to me, which also makes me think of my mom is a lot like me, and I get all my sort of, both of my parents are fighters in this way, but my mom is really clever. And I was so surprised when she fell for all of this mainstream news stuff. And I think it's because she's home a lot. You know, she's at home and she's old, elderly, so she's just at home watching TV. And I think eventually, I don't care what your IQ is or how clever you are, you know, it's just repetitive. It's like Clockwork Orange. You just keep watching and watching till you're brainwashed. But she said something to me because I said, Mom, why are you watching the ticker tape little toll thing at the bottom of the television telling you how many people are dead and how many people are infected? Why are you watching that? What they should have up there is a little toll that shows you how many, you know, young people were kidnapped today and how many young people were trafficked today. That would be something I feel like would get people light a fire in their chest and maybe take to the streets for different reasons. And she said flat out to me, people don't want to see that. And I was like, she caught me so off guard. I'm like, well, Mom, it's not about what you want to see. It's not, I was completely flabbergasted that it seemed so cold and so, but it was so honest at the same time. She's like, people don't want to see that because they feel helpless. If I see people dying from COVID, if I wear 5 masks, I feel better. If I don't go to Costco today, if I put on more hand sanitizer, I feel better. I was like, wow, that's deep, Mom. You're crazy. It was so truthful. I was like, yeah, she feels helpless when she can't do anything for these young kids that are being sex trafficked and human trafficking. And
part of the work that I feel that my larger project is going to do is make it relevant, because in my experience with social topics is very true to that. That people will become inured, they will kind of distance themselves to a subject that they don't really feel involved in. It's not their kid, not their neighbor's kid. Well, it's not really anything they can do about, but the reality is it couldn't be farther from the truth. There are so many ways that we as society, as individuals, perpetuate the causes, the root causes of violence, of sexual abuse, of pedophilia, of objectification of people, of the pornography, the sex industry, all that stuff. He's like, I don't do that. I bet I can dial it back, not to put fault on anyone, to recognize that it's just an energy. And depending on when we're participating. So people say, well, I don't do that. Well, then you're either participating. See, the world works in our subconscious. And in the energetic, it works like a X's and O's or a 1 and 0. You do or you don't. This is something that we work with Encompass Life and our quantum leap technique, is that if you have just a little bit of anger hanging around or resentment hanging around, people say, oh no, I don't have any of that. Then I ask them, well, are you a person living in the ease of forgiveness and authoring your life? Well, no. Why not? Well, I have, but it's just a little bit. But if it's in there a little bit, it's still in there. So if they could say, well, I don't participate, I can't do anything about the kidnapped kids, for example. Well, what are you doing to lift kids? What are you doing to cherish kids? What are you doing to empower children? What are you doing to help other people empower their children? So there is no bystander. There is no, there's no zero point where you can just observe everything unless, you know, you live in a different dimension. Everybody's participating in these things. Mm. So if you care about something, I say to people, all right, well then, do you know the kids on your block? Do you know the kids in the area where you live? No. Well, you know, people care more about the grass on their front, you know, in the front of their house than they do the kids on the block. Like that's part of the issue. That's part of the issue, because the kids are running beyond the radar. They are, other than receiving the nourishment, empowerment, and support they require, which they go find in other, in video games, and they go find in TV, and then they go find online. And how do you think they connect with perpetrators? Online is huge. So understanding that it's our responsibility. These kids are our kids, and everybody's actions, every action that we take has a result. So no action has a result. It's not wrong to not take any action on any of these things, but no action is does have a result that perpetuates whatever is the dominating energy. Mm-hmm. And right now we look at our kids' panorama between the way that they're educated or not being educated. I mean, are we building up leaders? Are we building up the change makers? Are we highlighting their strengths? Are we lifting them up? And that can really be used for everybody around us. No, where most people are concerned about themselves and walling themselves off. And that's why these measures have been so damaging. And it's why you can see that there's another something going on, because these measures to separate us is exactly the opposite of what's healthy for ourselves emotionally and physically. So mm-hmm. It's not a neutral measure. It doesn't matter. It does matter, because you're voting one way or the other with your energy and with your action, and you're voting for a society of strength, courage, and togetherness and community, or individualism, isolation, and fear. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I kind of went, I hope that people are following me right now.
No, it's perfect.
I know they went to a lot of places. But
yeah, you were trailing with what I was saying, basically, you know, like, like maybe my mom, my poor mother, I always use her in my podcast as an example. do you have Netflix? Because Netflix, mm-hmm. Supports, I don't want to say pedophilia, but it certainly doesn't, it supports films that support, young children in the movie Cuties, and when people were outraged, they did nothing. People literally dropped their accounts from Netflix. Not enough people, I think. And they did nothing about it. They did nothing. And I feel like, we can vote with our wallets. We can vote with, like you said, action and then energy as well, right? You also rang a bell there for me with something in the Bible with the Sermon on the Mount, which is like, Jesus says, it's the seed. It's the seed of hatred. It's the seed, to hate your neighbor is the seed of murder, to lust after a woman passing by or a porn, a movie, that's the seed of, sexual violence. And it's those seeds, it's the energetic vibration of where that comes from. You think that someone just wakes up one day and is a pedophile? No, they come from the seeds of those things, the seeds that are planted, the energetic stuff we put forth when we watch a movie that supports any kind of violence or supports, violence towards children. So that made perfect sense.
Anytime we do not respond, it is implied consent.
Wow.
Let that sink in. People watch stuff. It's the same thing. If you don't respond, if legally, I don't use if it's legally, but if someone doesn't respond, then that's consent to whatever somebody said. If you're standing with two people or three people and someone says, let's use this example, a really dirty joke that's kind of demeaning. Mm-hmm. If you don't say anything, then that's like consenting to whatever it is.
Yeah.
You either object to it or you're going along with it. And so that goes for everything that we're seeing,
yes,
including everything that we're seeing on TV. The internet, the videos that we see and music that we're hearing is embedding people with energetic contracts and bonds and bindings, and people just watch, oh, there's a terribly violent this and a terribly horrifically objectifying movie here, but they watch and they think, oh, whatever. No, it's not whatever. They are putting things through the screen energetically that is locking into the person's energetic field. People wouldn't have any, would be surprised to see, they'd probably be, all kinds of like little pins and needles and all kinds of little lines coming from their body if they were actually look at how many things that have hooked into them.
Right.
So you must respond to what you see, even if it's just silently, energetically, or else it's consent.
Wow. That's why I have this thing where when I'm watching horrible things like I was watching Laura Logan. Laura Logan, she's a journalist for Fox now, but she's an independent journalist and she's incredible, this woman. But she's got this series called Laura Logan Uncensored or something, I forget. And it's like a series on the cartels, or this a series on Afghanistan, or, you know, like five part series. And it is uncensored. Like, it's hard to watch, but I feel obligated to watch it. I feel like, you know, like my mother would say, I don't want that stuff in my head. Well, yeah, if it's a movie that you're watching and about a cartel or something, that's different. But this is real life. These things are happening on the planet. And part of me feels obligated to at least offer up to recognize that it's happening, especially with the human trafficking, to recognize that it's happening, to recognize that these people are suffering, and, you know, at least pray about it, meditate on it, talk about it with people. I feel it's like the least thing we could do is acknowledge that it's happening. Do you think that's valid?
Yes. I do believe that people can pass on. If you're intuitively felt like, okay, this content is, you know, intruding into my energy, this child is you know, too much for me right now, that's okay. At the same time, to totally bypass what's going on and miss that the truth, that's just can be really escapism. So to be able to be acknowledged that this is really what's happening, and then to choose an appropriate response, and that response, you know, like you said, it can be praying about that. It can be taking some action that empowers the situation. It's just the situation. But yes, I mean, if we're trying to avoid, I mean, the more really heavy stuff that I've come across, and I've heard some pretty heavy stories from the source, people that have lost sons and daughters to murder, the people that have murdered them. The people who have endured decades of sex trafficking and ritual abuse and really demonic stuff. Was it tough at times? Yeah. At the same time, each situation broadened my perspective on the overall picture of what's going on, and it readied me to be able to make actions that were going to be in true empowerment to everybody, as opposed to being just seeing one issue and just seeing one thing and doing something that potentially could have a harmful result on somebody else or on another. You know, for example, in the sex trafficking space, there is a very big hook. There's a very big hook and very big like energy behind rescue, 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 recover, rescue. And that's our go get them American mentality.
Right.
And that's okay. But understand that is just the beginning. If you go out there and rescue all these people, without actually empowering them, without actually giving them the type of services and therapy that lasts 10 years at least, then you end up potentially creating disservices and creating harm.
Because they need more than just to be pulled out of the fray of the horror. They have to be really reintegrated, right? Like they have to almost like re-educated and reintegrated, nourished, and all of that.
Yes, and it's much more challenging than people think it is. The trauma, being what's called trauma-informed, is, in my opinion, essential to any counselor, therapist, coach's repertoire in this day and age, to understand because so many more people are coming out with larger traumas. Everyone's got some trauma, but the larger it gets, it can have a very interesting effect on the human brain, the behaviors, and them doing things that doesn't make any sense to you. For example, one of these children or young people get recovered from a gang or a pimp, and they put in a place that is what would be considered a home, which is some usually temporary care facility, which gives them the nourishment, you know, just bed and, you know, maybe whatever it happens to be, all the things like you would think something like that would hold. Most of those places, the kids run away. And they run back to their trafficker. And you think, well, how is that possible? If you think, how is that possible? You don't understand trauma. Mm-hmm. You don't understand these nuances that have happened to their brain. And to be able to assist them, the first step is to understand how that works. Wow. And so that's why it's a disservice. Ripping people out of their situation and you put them completely unprepared, if an emotional development could be of an 8-year-old, and you're just plopping them in these strange facilities, a lot of other people acting a lot of other really challenging ways, and they run. And who are they going to run to? The only person that they know, because they're not going to run back to their family. They're probably estranged from, and they ran away from in the first place.
Right.
So you got to understand these things. It helps to understand how these things work. Mm-hmm. In order to understand, to avoid the collateral damage and creating more issues. So some people go out and they get all these people to give them a lot of money. They're a recovery operation, and they go to some foreign country or here, and then they pay the traffickers for the kids, and they get them out and say, well, we've done this great service. We've got them out of here. Well, the traffickers say, wow, this is a pretty profitable operation here. And they really like the youngest kids. They kept asking me for the youngest kids. So I'm going to go out and go use my money that they just gave me to go buy a bunch of younger kids. Now you're perpetuating the issue. Plus they're drafting in younger and younger kids. And now what do you do with the kids that you've recovered? Well, we put them here, there, the other boy. Unless you're ready to make a commitment and really see it through, it's like someone saying, oh, I'd like to adopt, but only for like 6 months, and then we'll put them back. Mm-hmm. Like, did you do a service for that child or a disservice?
Right.
So understanding the greater panorama, going back to your point about the truth, yes, I do believe it's a very helpful, responsible thing when we feel prepared, when your central nervous system is prepared. It's important too. What you're taking in does can have an impact. Yeah. Prepare your central nervous system, take in what you can, and yes, take action, even if it's just blessing the situation and saying, okay, that's going on there. That's what I do. And I start feeling, if I'm watching something, I start feeling, oh, I just take a breath in and I bless it. Mm. And I bless it and I ask for God's will to be done. Bless for the people that are doing the work and assisting, and bless those who are enmeshed in that situation. And that's my action that moment. And the more I do see and understand, the more I can act in a way that's beneficial for all parties and the situation in general.
Wow. Hey, everyone. I wanted to introduce Ona's new ultra-concentrated CBD progesterone cream. It's 5% CBD and 3% progesterone for relief of stress, anxiety, minor aches and pains in your muscles and joints. It is U.S.-sourced, produced, and naturally derived. It's organically grown. And right now, we are doing a special because this particular strength of CBD on the market, which is THC-free, normally goes for about $120 for 2 ounces. So we are doing $60 as an introductory offer. And the reason I developed it was because this particular combination with the CBD helps to downregulate cortisol while it helps you to take advantage of the progesterone benefits. The link is in the show notes, or you can go to us.onasnatural.com. And by the way, if you use coupon code ONAS, you'll get an additional 10% off.
I want to talk more about that and the way you actually work with the methods that you work. But I have one question I wanted to, I asked this question when you were on before, and it's just so disturbing and I want people to hear it. And it came up in the Laura Logan, episode on cartel and trafficking, which is, you know, that the drug running has become secondary now for the cartels in Mexico, has become secondary to the actual human trafficking. And that, you know, they come up from all over the world up through our southern border. But it's that the youngest of these victims have the highest price, and they make it all the way up into the U.S. for the top dollar. And that really rattled me the first time that I heard it. Because it was very expensive, the price on these young children's head and the age of these children, which I want you to share with us. I mean, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I feel like this is important because a lot of my listeners don't know this, which is that top dollar for the youngest human trafficking, for sex trafficking, is really, really young. And it comes here to the U.S. That means who's going to pay $45,000 for a 4-year-old boy or girl? It's got to be someone with a lot of money. And if it's the second leading industry in the entire world, what does that say about the wealthiest of our country? So I don't know, that might've been too broad of an accusation, but can you add anything to that or tell us a little bit about that before we move on?
Yeah, there. I'll attempt to keep it brief. There are many aspects to the situation. And although the with this call for everyone to rush the border, which is doing a massive disservice, I didn't realize how much trafficking was happening at the border when Trump was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Because labor trafficking, yes, but sex trafficking was on 90%. When I started this journey a few years ago, 90% of the people being trafficked in America were Americans. And but now I can see, because I'm hearing all these different stories, including the girls that the parents that are letting their young girls go. And I think it's like 2 out of 3. I might be incorrect about that particular statistic, but 2 out of 3 will be sexually assaulted before they even reach the border. Mm. So, and then when it comes to crossing and little kids, yeah, I mean, they sell infants. And they sell infants as a direct sale. So maybe what you're talking about, sell them direct. And then they sell infants, you know, they can, what we consider like a, what we call like a prostitution, but it's really slave. Most of it is mostly slavery. And then they could, you know, for amount of time, they could sell an infant for amount of time, just like it would sell a young person. Mm-hmm. And so what's going on? Is it perpetuated by wealth? Yeah. I mean, America is the richest country in the world. America is the number one sex buyer in the world. That's, you know, an easy association to make. Mm-hmm. Do they buy children? Yes. Do they buy children in ever increasing numbers? Yes. And if you have somewhere that, depending on the statistics, sometimes they say 12 to 14, as I've heard, as young as 9 to 11 is the average age, that they get in. And there are many people who get in as adults or are snared as adults. That means there's many kids that are snared as infants. And really though, what people don't know is the even bigger situation is that 50% of the kids that are trafficked in America, they are trafficked by their own family and family friends. So this is also a clandestine thing happening in these circles where they're doing this. And we have, there is a very, if I'm looking at the only other way I can explain, if you, that may seem so foreign to you, why this is going on in a really briefly is just to say that, you know, this is a multi-dimensional attack on life. Mm. They're attacking life. They are sucking the innocence from the children, like you would take the air out of a balloon. And they may or may not be aware that's what they're doing. Okay, there's a lot of subconscious stuff going on. Not everyone is a conscious, evil, horrible person, like some people think, that are abusing these children. Some are have been highly traumatized and abused themselves. Some are highly lost and empty. And they think, for whatever reason, that this is going to fill them up. Mm. So then there's the blood component. Maybe that's for another show, but the sought after blood of children is, well, you can see it happening. I mean, maybe it's if you just been paying attention to the Newsweek article about, you know, how blood is now, like, should we be giving young people's blood to older people because it's making them younger or giving them more energy or whatever it was. You got the blood skateboard from Tony Hawk. You got the blood shoes from Nas or whatever. Mm-hmm. They are making vampirism normalized. Mm-hmm. And if you think that's an accident, and it started with Maria Abramovich and her spirit cooking and all of that stuff, and you say, oh, that's art, or that's just somebody's. When you look at it together, that's what I do. I see the big picture. You're like, hold on a second, everyone. Hold on a second. There's something much bigger going on here. So really taking the whole panorama, and, you know, the kids are sought after for many, many reasons. And if we, again, if we're looking at an issue saying, ooh, that's impossible, or that's gross, or that's too much for me. Okay. But what are you doing to support children? What are you doing to support your neighbor who has children or the single mom around the corner? What are you doing? How are you standing for education, home education, and their own health and things like that. So if you're just bystandering, then that's contributing to the existing energy. So you can be an activist just by caring about kids a little more than you did before. And that's where it starts.
Right.
So instead of being shocked about what's going on, I just welcome you to say, you know what? You know, what kid is in my sphere that I can reach out to? Or can I reach out to a single parent to give them a hand, or volunteer at a homeschool pod, or just put a post out in support of of something that's uplifting for kids and certain educational programs. There's so many things we can do. So start to take that energy of, oh my gosh, and put it into something that is going to be uplifting, or at least do a prayer or a blessing, something that's going to move, because we are in a very interesting place when it comes to a lot of things in our world, but specifically the care of our children. And they're under attack. Yeah. They're absolutely under attack.
Okay. That was excellent. Thank you. So, I want to talk about this, a few things you've pointed out, some of your lingo that I love so much. You've, you know, ever since our appointment that we had together, our session, you know, you have really, even though it was brief, it really had an impact on the words I use, you know, and other people use, you know, like even Charlie, like he loves to cuss. He's so New Jersey, you know, and it's fine, but sometimes he'll say things that I'm just like, oh no, that's so no. And so I'm so conscious, thanks to you, about how I spend my energy and the words that pass my lips, you know, not as conscious as I probably should be, but, you know, it's also a very sort of biblical thing also, like what passes your lips, like what is the fruit that's on your lips, you know, is it honey or is it bitter? Like, what is it that you're putting forth, right? So every word is a prayer coming into manifestation. That I want to talk about.
Yes. Love language. And it's so much fun to play with language, especially having been a linguist. I speak 5 languages, and this is like a whole nother wowza. It's almost like a system of language as opposed to language itself, because it applies to all languages. And there's so many ways to look at it. Ultimately though, is are you speaking life? So life and death is of the power of the tongue. It's a tip. And so that's differently said, but life and death is the tip of the tongue, right? So understand that everything that we say, either is in remember our ones and zeros I talked about before in the black and the white, you're giving life or you're diminishing life. Everything. Say, no, there's some things we just say casual. Like, for example, we have a big thing in our society where it's like, oh, whatever. Like, oh, I don't care. This doesn't matter. You know, but whatever. These sort of, and that's that, like, feel that in your body, those words, like, feel that. And is that an uplifting feeling or is that a heavy feeling? Now just say to yourself, I care. I care how things go. I care about me. I care about others. And see how that feels in your body. Now you could say, well, that's just some nice way of changing what you're saying. Another thing is just throwing it away casual. But if you really feel it, if you feel the words, you're going to know, understand what's going on. And that those feelings, those heavier feelings or uplifting feelings, are always occurring. It's often that we're so busy talking and doing our stuff, we don't recognize that we're creating these energy packets in our bodies. And these energy packets can weigh the body down, or it can lift the body up. It will attract exactly where you're at. If people say, people like, I don't know what to do about money. Oh, it's so hard to make money. Like, just not enough and not enough to go around. Or like, another thing didn't work out for me. They are actually sending out that exact frequency, because it's energy. It's sending out that frequency for more situations that match their belief system. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what does that do? It creates, on top of that, then they get more, then it creates frustration in the body, which is a type of anger. And then they're most likely holding that anger, and that's creating dis-ease in the body, and it holds on to longer, creates resentment, gets into the bones and the tendons, and it creates a lot of imbalance in the body. So it starts with the words. And how do you choose? Do you choose to speak death or diminishment, or do you choose to speak life? And if you don't know, just choose to know. People say, I don't know what to do. I don't know this. I don't know that. Where does that get you? What does I don't know feel like in your body? Mm-hmm. Doubt. It's doubt. And it's said to be even lead to Alzheimer's and dementia. If you say, I don't know all the time, then you're perpetuating that you don't know. Mm. And you're cutting off the neurotransmitters that are looking for solutions. So instead you say, I choose to know. I got this. I empower myself to have my answers. And you walk yourself toward your solution. You walk yourself towards life and create the reality that you like to experience. And so in the quantum leap technique, which I use, we use the language, helping people step forward in language to lift themselves through the situation, which is different than affirmation. I'm talking about decree, stating what is, speaking life with feeling and walking yourself to wherever you choose to go. And I can also use it as a diagnostic because I can hear how people speak. I can pick up what's going on in their subconscious from those words and phrases and tones that are coming through that. So fantastic. That's going to be my second book. I'm going to get into this a lot. Hmm. First things first, I got to take care of the first one.
I was going to ask you if you were going to put that life and death at the tip of the tongue into the book. So is that everything that passes your lips? So like, you know, like if you're, you know, like if you just say, throw something away, you know, like not with any kind of passion at all. You're just like, oh, that guy's an idiot. You know, or you say something you shouldn't say. You say something mean about someone, but like you're driving and you get mad at someone in front of you and you're just like, oh, that person's so stupid. Or, you know, stuff like that. Like are even those throwaways, I want to die. You know, like what I just did, giving it as an example. Even those things, would you say have some vibration that collect as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Delete.
You know, exactly. And you can do that. You're like a computer. You just cancel it. If it comes out, just say, oh, cancel, delete. That's what I do. Mm. This is other than something you're going to get perfect. And it's not about getting it perfect. Mm-hmm. It's about recognizing that everything I say has a corresponding result. Whether I can see it or I can feel it or I've missed it entirely, it has a result. What type of world do you choose to create for yourself? I just moved away from the throwaways. And so, but if one comes out, it's okay. I'll just correct, you know, like, oh, that jerk, you know, just cut me off, whatever. But then I can say, you know, cancel that. You're probably having a hard day, sending a blessing. Mm. You know, and like, I bless myself, whatever happened, you know, you just turn it around. It's okay. It's a game. I would treat it more like a game than like a right or wrong thing. Like, oh my gosh, I said I can't. I was aligning with my victim self because ultimately the things you described are all the perception. Anything that you just talked about, if we could walk through and probably find a blessing in that. So if I'm aligning with the victim consciousness and saying, that guy's an idiot, that's a bunch of bullshit, this, da, 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 then, but you're only looking at it from the participant point of view instead of your observer point of view. And you absolutely won't get your blessing if you've decided and chosen already that guy's an idiot or that this situation is BS. You've already chosen that. Therefore, you've cut off your intuition to the possibility that the person cutting you off might have actually slowed you down to avoid getting to the accident in 3 minutes up in the road.
Right. That actually happened to Charlie and I one day. We had just left church. We were in Nevada City. We just left church and the sermon was about that. It was about, you know, everything is a blessing. If you look at everything and you say, thank you, even if you get COVID, even if you, you know, something horrible happens to you, okay, say thank you. It's a blessing. And Charlie, we left and we're driving back from Nevada City back to LA. And this guy is in front of us in this truck and he's got diesel fumes coming out of his truck and it's a long drive and we're just inhaling these diesel fumes through our air conditioning. We're just like, ugh. And Charlie's getting really frustrated. He's speeding up and slowing down. This guy is in the way and Charlie's getting really mad. And he was thinking about that sermon and about that whole concept of, okay, this is a blessing. About an hour and a half later, we're on the same road with this person, but he's gone now. An accident happens, a big one. And it, we see hubcaps flying our way and we're like, slow down. And we like pull over and then we like make our way. We couldn't stop because there was so many people coming. So we like made our way. A lot of people had stopped already. And that truck was up front and we were thinking, you know, he was slowing us down like seconds and we would have been part of that accident, you know, or maybe had caused the accident or who knows, you know? And so it's so true. It's like, if you look at everything as a blessing, you know, the words that cross your lips maybe won't always be so bitter, you know? Mm-hmm. One thing as everybody knows, and you know, you started off our conversation joking about it, was, you know, how vocal I am with what I post. And before I post things, I really, really, really think about it. Sometimes I don't, and then I regret it and remove it. But 99% of the time, I'm very careful. And I try not to instill fear and try not to be like a fear monger and try not to be, look what they're doing to us, you know, because I don't want to manifest that sort of reality where everybody is frightened to read my posts.
Yeah.
And that I think that the world is out to get us, because it's not what I think at all. You know, I really feel like this is all an opportunity and was bound to happen. It was prophetic what's going on now. And so I'm excited about it, even though it's horrible in many ways. And I hope that I get that across, because I am concerned that I am instilling some fear in people, you know?
I get that. And it's certainly something to feel into, like feel your posts. So if you're going to write something, write it, but let it go. Like move your energy. If you're going to compress your energy and hold back your truth, anyone, that can cause disease as well. So many people have held back speaking, and now more often than other times, perhaps. And what that does to the body, it actually suppresses the thyroid. It can have different limiting results in the body. So speak it out. That doesn't mean you have to speak it out to a million people. Just speak it out for yourself, for you. Everything's for you. And then see and feel like, okay, is this the most powerful comment to get the outcome I'd like? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get confused. We have in the past, the difference between speaking out, I'm going to speak my truth and I'm just going to blast it out. But what was your purpose in doing that? What's the outcome you choose for people who read your social media, and that a feeling-based outcome? What would they be saying to you when you've done the perfect post that will uplift that person or advise that person? And then work backwards from there and say, oh, is this going to do that? Maybe it will. Maybe sometimes people need a little hard coach, and that's okay. Sometimes there's a way to shift it that can be helpful. And when I'm looking at stuff, speaking life and death is also speaking what is versus what isn't. You know, people will say that, you know, this is wrong, this isn't here, and we don't have this, and you should be doing that, and da-da-da-da, instead of speaking what is. Okay, this is actually what's going on, everybody. Understand this is what action you can take. This is really, you know, get into the speaking of as opposed to the complaining, because complaining destroys your neurotransmitters. Even listening passively to complaints, it's like secondhand smoke. It will destroy your neurotransmitters. And what do neurotransmitters do? They're moving these signals to your brain. So less neurotransmitters, less smart you're going to be. It's not wrong. It's just a choice. So understand, okay, what can I do? I'm going to propose solutions. I'm going to get people to think outside the box. I'm going to invite people to look at things differently. And for me, this is like this war on the virus. It's kind of like the war that when country would go invade some other country and that no one ever heard of. And then everybody finds out about the country. Oh, there's this country in the Middle East. There's a country in this area and that they do this. And this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knew about health. Cancel nobody. Very few, the masses had a very low general understanding of health.
Yes.
Very low. It's not taught in any schools. We're bombarded with all of this other food-like products, things you probably talk about in other podcasts, and recognize that now people are actually looking at it. Now, some people may subscribe to the victim consciousness, which is the industries which say, I'm going to give you this item, and then it's going to save you, it's going to help you, it's going to protect you. Mm-hmm. Some people might subscribe to the victor consciousness and say, you know what? wow, if I'm going to be a victor, I'm a warrior. What did I do to become a great warrior? I'm going to feed myself this. I'm going to change this part of my aspect of my life. I'm going to take this different supplements. I'm going to do this different types of exercise to prepare themselves. So perhaps this is a wake-up call for the health of people, and we can be catalysts yes. to that understanding, because now more people are talking about, people are open about it. Mm-hmm. And then before it's like, oh, who cares? And then, you know, they're not, of course, not sharing this, but you can share that the most of the people going to the hospital have a lot of other conditions, including obesity,
yeah,
including other health conditions that are complicating matters. And that's what's contributing to a lot of the stuff that's going on, or mm-hmm. compounding it. So we have a lot of opportunities to talk about health. And ultimately, the part I like to talk about the best, even though I started in this space, I have a degree in biology, and I worked in doing fitness training and helped people out, is that ultimately everything that's happening to the body is just a sign. So the body is talking. So in the quantum leap technique, we stop short of giving any names to stuff. Well, this is such and such a condition. This is such and such a virus, or this illness. Well, all it is a cough. All it is fatigue. It's heart doing the palpitations. That's what is going on. Then it's only when we label it, not only, but when we label it, it gives extra strength. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, this is the condition, and these are the only known answers for that. You're going to take this drug, you're going to do this, go to this person, whatever.
Yeah.
Take it back a second. Your body's simply talking to you. If you get a condition, if a condition arises, then we look at that condition. And the condition, in the case of, we've been facing a lung condition largely, although now we have all kinds of surprisingly a huge number of symptoms for one thing, but let's just stick to the original, which is the lungs. Like, give an example. The lungs have to do with in the body talk that we do, the lungs have to do with inspiration and grief. Mm. And right, what you could probably easily see is there's a lot of grief because people aren't living their inspired lives. Inspired meaning, you know, the divine guidance to what you're supposed to be doing here on mm-hmm. earth. Mm-hmm. Most people are doing jobs. Most of those people don't like those jobs. They're doing it for a paycheck, or because they're meeting their bills, or because that's what they're trained to do and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not your inspired life. You were meant to come and do something that is divinely inspired, divinely led. And you are wired and prepared for this beautiful expression of who you are. And most people are so busy doing their job and so tired from it that they're missing what they're meant to be doing here. And there's a lot of grief about that. Mm-hmm. Because how can you be totally lit up if you're missing your mission, if you're missing your purpose? Mm-hmm. So that's all I would look at, you know, and just look at what's coming forth. And it's so fun to translate stuff, because oftentimes it goes into very deep stuff related to our upbringings and the patterns that live in our body and the behaviors that we've gotten from our surroundings and from our families, and even intergenerationally can all show up through stuff that's happening in the body. So even that, oh my gosh, I can't get out of bed today. Or this happened to my leg and I had to stop playing doing all my activities, all my exercise. Like, oh my gosh, I've got to heal this and take this pill and go to this person to get better and heal. Wait a minute, stop. Your body's talking to you. Mm-hmm. Just listen. And even if you choose to do it by yourself and you haven't yet remembered how the body talks, you can just feel into the area of your body and just ask, what are you telling me right now? What is this message for me? Mm-hmm. And you'd be, you know, the more that you do it, the more that you can open up that pathway of intuition and communicating with your own body to be able to assess what's really going on. Instead of putting the fire out, get back to my old routine.
Right.
Say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm getting a big message that I probably got a lot of signs for before to get to the point where now my life's going to be interrupted. Must be a big deal. Let me feel into this. Let me see what's going on. So we do a lot, you know, we do one-on-one sessions with people, and, you know, I just do it for myself now, understanding like what's going on, identify it, and then be able to transform it.
It's so interesting. And I feel like the world is really shifting. Humanity's really shifting and getting an opportunity to become a different type, grow into a different type of human that we're designed to be. And that's being self-aware and more self-like. And a self-aware makes it sound a little bit, not so much self-aware. Maybe it's more like physically aware, like being able to listen to our bodies, like you said, you know, coming into a place where we use what's happening in our body as like the dashboard of our car, of our vehicle, where we, you know, there's light warning lights that go off that are trying to tell you something, you know, where if you get high cholesterol, you know, instead of rushing, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, the warning light on your, the engine warning light goes on, or the oil light goes on your dashboard on your car. And you take the back end of a screwdriver and you're like, and you like make the light go out. Yay, it's out. We're good.
Yeah.
Instead of like figuring out what that warning light's trying to tell you. I've got low cholesterol. Instead of taking medicine to put the light out, just go, okay, well, high cholesterol is this. And it means that, you know, and then that's where people, alternative practitioners who know how to look into, you know, you come to somebody like me and I can look at that and say, okay, well, what's going on with your cholesterol could have to do with, yes, your diet, but also, you know, it could have to do with these other things, like deficiencies in minerals. And are you having too much alcohol or too much caffeine? Anyway, it's warning lights. And it's like we're shifting towards, and this entire event over the last 1.5 years is an opportunity for us to shift into a place where we could be more, get, I mean, some people won't, right? They're going to ignore it and they're just going to do their thing. But a lot of people right now are getting the opportunity to learn how to pay attention to their bodies. So with your counseling, is it, could obviously you serve people who have been victims of sex trafficking and all sorts, but like anybody could have an appointment with you, right? A counseling session in regards to anything.
I've done a lot of personal development work and teaching work before using this technique. It was great. And a lot of practices, Eastern, Western, really, really great stuff. And it's all served me. What I love about what we're doing here is that that it goes beyond geography. It goes beyond age. It goes beyond any social economic factors, ethnicity. It's just consciousness. We're dealing with you as your divine self and helping people identify what those patterns are. Mm-hmm. that end up causing the condition, emotional condition, physical condition, whatever in their lives, and then helping them move that. So we help, you know, and work with a lot of folks. We also have an online university where we train people in this. So healers and counselors and coaches and managers, we have a year program where we share the tools. We love giving the tools away because this is other than a place where we're interested in creating multiple year codependent relationships, like many therapists and other places where you go and go and go and go and go. No, we're gonna go in deep quickly. And then the longer people stick around and the more tools we can give them to keep for themselves, because that's how we're gonna create shift. I mean, when I see people recognizing and speaking life everywhere that they go and into other people and transforming the stuff inside them, these old traumas and challenges and issues that we kind of buried and looked past and, oh, I already got over it. I've become successful. They're all treasures meant to be pulled out and explored and opened. Mm. It's not about even healing for us is halfway. Full transformation is our goal every single time out. And wow, the changes that people can make physically in their relationships are huge. So really we're here creating fun, ease, and abundance. Like spiritual Sherpas, we're going to walk with you up the mountain. We'll carry the weight and slowly acclimatize together so that you can do these things in your own life. And I mean, for me, it's the last 3 years have been astounding. Even after a long journey of amazing work and living in many countries and doing a lot of different stuff, I recognize, we're conscious beings with infinite love and potential. So I mean, it can continue to go on. There's that much, even if you've achieved a lot and you have great relationship, a lot of financial success, you've experienced that to the level that you're aware that exists. But there is a whole nother level, whole nother octave on top of that. And there's a whole nother octave on top of that, another one on top of that. So we can keep going with this journey throughout our lives. And it's great to be in a space of empowerment and helping other people do that.
Beautiful. Well, before we wrap it up, I want to ask you, everyone's heard the eyes are the window to the soul, but what does that mean to you?
So we do something called iTalk. So in addition to being able to read your language, how you speak, mm-hmm. in addition to what your body is saying through its illnesses, conditions, injuries, and actual movement, another thing that we can do that's really, really fun is read. We take a high resolution photo of people's eyes.
Oh,
and I'm able to see the basically kind of a map of topography map of consciousness that's going on in that person. So the pupil is your core essence. And then the pupil, then the iris is your inner world. And the sclera, which is the white part with the red, represents your outer world. And all of these things have, there's all kinds of different textures and colors and patterns and movements of all the stuff that we can read and very accurately find patterns that and things that have been limiting that you wouldn't even know existed.
Really?
And,
is this different from iridology?
Yes, it shares some elements with iridology. Mm-hmm. This is a more consciousness level. So in iridology, they might say, oh, this is a area of your kidneys, and therefore this is this color off, and so we're going to recommend doing a kidney cleanse. It's wrong.
Oh, okay.
We're into what's right. What is going on in those kidneys that is waiting to be healed and transformed, not gotten rid of? What's the strength that's ready to come back? And there's probably something in relationship there. It could be something in partnership. It could be something in forgiveness. So we're going to explore that. So we don't just look at it and analyze it. I look at it, and that's like a jumping off point. I start asking questions that lead me to whatever's the core root of that, so that we can gently pull it up with love and then transform it and create something. And the amazing thing is we can, you know, the DNA is supposed to be, well, in the past, it was considered to be the print. You got, this is what your eye looks like. This is the color. This is the formation. But we can actually help create differences immediately. Like the actual eye will change. We have something called body electronics, which we do every so many months, which is a full on, it's our main intensive in person. A lot of our stuff, most of our stuff is online. Mm-hmm. And you could see the difference in people's eyes in 4 days.
Really?
Literally see the difference. It's astounding. It's like, so you could see the evidence of your work, the evidence of your growth right there in the eye. And my eyes have changed in the last 3 years. I've done this a great deal. It's like,
oh, wow,
those are still the same person. So
that's so cool. That's really so cool. Intriguing.
Yeah.
I have my eyesight has really, is getting, I don't know, just because it's you, I'm thinking about how to say this. Okay. I was going to say my eyesight has gotten so bad over the last few years. How could I say that in a better way?
So my eyesight has diminished. It has been reduced. My ability to see in the, well, it's not all your eyesight, right? It's maybe your long distance or your short distance.
I think it's both.
It's both?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I see less than I used to. When you start to say
okay.
bad and good,
yeah.
then it's starting to attribute a little bit of judgment to it.
Sure.
But it could be the biggest gift. You know, maybe there are things in your life that you just haven't wanted to see.
Sure.
And your body sort of protecting you. But the reality is when you face those things and actually experience them, they might be the gateway to the next level of consciousness and love for you. And your eyes are just reminding you, hey, let's get on this path. Hey, there's something we require to, you know, your long-term vision. Like there's something bigger for you. I'm just going to reduce this a little bit so that you pay attention, because I've been giving you all of these little signs and you missed them. So, okay, let's just affect her normal life a little bit.
I got chills. I had this dream like a few months back that I was, our church is outside. Well, the church here in LA is outside at a park because of what happened with COVID. And we get like a little double-sided page of lyrics, you know, and my dream, I was reading them and I could see perfectly. Like it was just, and I had no, I didn't have my glasses on. It was just like perfect. And I woke up and I was like, oh, that was such a good dream. I wish I had my eyesight back 100%. So then the next day, that next day was Sunday, and I went to church and I was holding the lyrics and forgot about the dream, standing there and I'm singing and I'm like, I didn't have my glasses on and I couldn't sing. I could see the lyrics. And I told my pastor right away and his wife, and I was like, I started crying. I was like, I can sing. And of course I tried to read my Bible, which is itty bitty, and it didn't work. But you know, that I could read exactly what I saw on the page in my dream. Well, then like two weeks later, it was blurry again. And then like a week later, it was back again, and it was going back and forth. And then I had another dream where God was telling me that wasn't the point. It wasn't about your eyesight. It was about clarity through divine eyesight, through keeping your eyes on God through your walk in your life. And that's where your clarity will come from. And nothing to do with your eyesight. You're 51, your eyes are going where they're going, and that's that. He didn't say that, but I did. But it was basically like there was a message of what you were just saying, which is, what if this is just a little, that's why I got chills, is what if this is just a little message to you, like this is a sign, like to grow through and have different types of clarity through.
You kind of spelled it out. I mean, through this conversation, you're perhaps one thing to explore is that, and to decree in, is that you see God's perfection everywhere. Perfection, not perfect 10 out of 10 or 20/20. The divine plan.
Beautiful.
I see God's perfection everywhere. Go around saying that. Go around saying, Almighty God, transform my eyes. Have me see and visualize only your divine perfection, now and forever self-sustained.
Can you text that to me? I couldn't write fast enough. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so true.
You remember that the dream world's real in a certain way, mm-hmm. and you rode that through, but then you subscribe to the lack mentality, lacking sight. Mm-hmm. No, you went back. Oh, this is how it was. And you're waiting for it. And you're almost like testing yourself so you could prove yourself wrong.
Yes.
So it wasn't a miracle. I trust, I see God's perfect plan. I see all my options. Just start playing with that and see what words come naturally. It might be about seeing God's perfection. It could be about seeing your future and what you're doing. It could be a lot of things, but keep saying that and keep playing with it and find the words that go, and then you're going to, and then keep saying it, put feeling behind it. And that's the use of language, that's the power. I mean, in the beginning of the Bible, it says God spoke and the world was created. Mm-hmm. He didn't wave his hands. He didn't snap his fingers. It wasn't a bang or whatever. He spoke it into existence. And just like that, as you are a child of God and you have God in you, you speak and you can speak into existence what it is that you choose in creation of your world.
Well, that was just beautiful. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for your time and for your work. And I can't wait to read your book. We have you back when your book is done.
Sweet. It's going to be a barnstormer.
Yay.
You're the perfect person to bring it forth.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to learn all about Michael Matucci and everything he offers, including his book and all of this work he's doing to support these victims of human trafficking, and also the therapeutic work he does with the eye, the iridology style of work, he did all of that stuff. Check him out in the show notes. Support his efforts. He's wonderful. These are the kind of people we really need to champion on in this day and age. Absolutely. So keep your eyes on him. He's going big places. Going big places, guys. All right. Thanks so much. And check out all the great discounts in my show notes.